From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump, soon after he won the 2016 Electoral College for president, agreed to pay the state of New York $25 million to settle a series of lawsuits over his educational venture, Trump University. The lawsuit was based on multiple allegations of fraud and unfulfilled promises made to students about how they would learn high-stakes real estate sales expertise in exchange for thousands of dollars. The settlement over Trump University was a humiliation for Trump, who had derided others for acceding to legal settlements and boasted that he would never settle over the lawsuit and would eventually even reopen the school. Now, a former instructor at Trump University has written a tell-all book. Stephen Gilpin taught real estate for more than a decade. He was recruited to join Trump University as an instructor, and he now joins me to discuss his new book. It's called Trump U, The Inside Story of Trump University. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you. I'm here. Yes.
Thanks
Welcome.
So much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, you you write in your book that you kind of had a sixth sense or negative experience or feeling right from your first contact with the people who tried to recruit you as an instructor into Trump University, because they began by lowballing your salary in a way that was insulting to you. Can you tell us what your impressions were that at the time you sort of pushed under the rug of Trump University and what their approach to this university was?
One of Donald Trump's quotes is that during negotiations, if you don't submit a lowball offer, it didn't insult the person, it actually did not work. So I figured it was a cheesy move for them, but they slided a sticky. They put a number on a sticky and they wrote it down, and then they slid it across a conference room table after interviewing for several days and several hours and making me wait to interview for several hours. And that was one of the things about, very first impression. And one of the things about the interview for several days, they kept on asking me about real estate transactions. What's a purchase contract clause? What's an addendum to a purchase contract? And myself having real estate knowledge was easy for me to answer all the questions. It was question after question after question.
So were you then told about what you would be doing at Trump University? This university made a lot of promises. It was an aggressive advertising campaign. What did you understand your role would be? And how did you as an instructor compare to other instructors that were brought in terms of expertise and experience?
So first thing is, other instructors were actually consultants. They were not salaried employees. So they were hired consultants for their real estate expertise on a certain topic concerning real estate. They were not handpicked. I was their
in-house. But he promised that one of the things he said that he was going to be handpicking people to represent the university, right?
In that famous YouTube video, which is still up today, that he handpicked his instructors and all.
And so you had years of experience teaching real estate, so it wasn't a terribly surprising thing that they would invite you to teach, but did others have the same sort of experience?
I don't know if they had the same number of years of experience, and I don't know if they were credentialed and licensed. I had several Department of State licensing, several state licensings, and several credentials. And I also still am an investor. So I had HUD 1 settlement statements. So like my interview process, when I accepted the job, one of the things was I had to prove that I was a real estate investor. I had to submit HUD 1 settlement statements. I had to list out the addresses of properties that I've done myself and with my family, and that I've actually flipped, buy, fix, and flipped. One of the things was I was a substitute for Professor Gary Eldred, who was one of my mentors. I was substituting for him for an online course that they had called Empire City. And then you would actually get me as the instructor for the on-site and the inside course of Empire City on real estate and how to buy real estate, how to sell real estate, how to do your negotiations. I was also the in-house coach and mentor. It's totally separate from every other instructor or salesperson. I actually worked for the company. I was actually paid by the company.
Now, a big part of the selling that the company did was actual products, a six-part audio and DVD course called The Wealth Builder's Blueprint. Tell us about what the Wealth Builder's Blueprint was all about. The university was selling these even before they formally opened their doors.
I actually have a copy set myself. It's called The Wealth Builder's Blueprint. And what it is, it's several books and audio CDs and online courses that you actually get and receive from professionals in audio, just like our podcast now, that you will receive. So the online or the Wealth Builders Network set you up in the real estate business. It had audio CDs, it had contracts in them. You can actually get emailed contracts, things that you would be able to use to be a successful investor. Now, that was the very beginning of Trump University. That was back in 2005, 2006, 2007. When I came on board, they totally switched the way they were doing business. Now, Wealth Builders Blueprint is actually it's a good setup. You can actually still purchase it today for an entrepreneur beginner, yes. When they changed business and their business model is they went from that to high-pressured sales and doing shows. And that's where the beginning was to the end.
So tell us how they lured students in. It sort of, with the way you describe it in your book, it sounds like the kind of thing that one, if one wanted to start a cult, would do. You sort of make a big promise. You invite a bunch of people to attend for free, and then, or maybe for a low price, and then you hand pick and choose who in the audience would be the most gullible for handing over their entire life savings. Is that basically how it went?
It's sort of, yes.
So tell us what were they workshops, they call them?
They call them workshops, yeah. Workshops and interviews, or the golden ticket. So you would actually, they would case your address and phone number, they would buy a list, and they would send out to you what's called a golden ticket, which is in the book, and you would have an introduction to attend a one-day free seminar. That's what it was. And learn the real estate business the way Donald Trump learns it. He's gonna teach you. He actually didn't teach you, and you would actually attend that workshop.
So did some people attend expecting to be taught but directly by Trump?
Absolutely, some of them did, yes. Absolutely.
So then you would show up at these workshops that you were, you know, you got a very tempting and seductive personal invitation to attend. What would happen then?
Right. So just so you know, I'm not the one who was there at the workshop.
Sure.
I'm the in-house guy with the real estate credentials and all that. I was the coach and mentor and the teacher. In-house, there's a total difference. Mm-hmm. The person at the workshop is a high-pressured salesperson. Their only job is to sell 25% or greater the audience into a larger package.
And there were three different packages that people could buy into.
Right. So you got your free event. The next event was you paid $1,500, $1,495, to a three-day class where you're gonna learn in-depth real estate, and you don't actually learn in-depth. There is another teaser, and that teaser is gonna take you to another class.
And that you have to pay more money for.
Right, it's $5,000. Mm. And then that $5,000 class and workshop, you're gonna learn some stuff about real estate depending on the actual credentialed instructor that was there, and it wasn't a salesperson. Because if it was a salesperson, they're gonna up you to a $14,000 package, to a $19,000 package, to a $36,000 package.
Now, you write in your book, on the first day the workshop concluded, team members were instructed to use the information that they got on these participants to rank each person according to assets they had available to spend on more Trump University programs. And then students were steered toward the most expensive elite program that they could possibly afford, including by using such strategies as calling their bank getting a credit card limit increase and then maxing out the card. So they were literally being cased in the way a con man does. They were being, right. you know, sort of investigated as a con man would investigate a victim, a potential victim, before victimizing them.
Absolutely. When I first attended one of the live events to see what was going on, because now I'm in the middle of it and I'm teaching, and then I was like hearing the complaints from the students on the phone and in person, and I was like, I went to Michael Sexton and the owners, and I said, you know, someone needs to go to these live events, and they really need to compliance audit what is being said and what's being done. And I attended James Harris's event, who no longer, that I don't even think that's his name anymore. He changed his name. I attended one of his events, and I noticed during break, they would do what's called breakout sessions. And they would actually ask and meet with the people individually, and they would actually ask their assets. And I was very shocked about that. Hmm. And so, it was just an upsell.
So the promises that were made were these grand promises. And there's still some ads that you can find online for Trump University. You know, if you are not a millionaire, then you haven't taken this course. You haven't joined a Trump University. You tell the story in your book of a woman named Kathleen Meese, who was guaranteed by one of the Trump University people named Steve Goff that she would make back her $25,000 within 60 days. This is how much it would cost her to basically be taught by him. What happened to Kathleen Meese?
She actually got her a refund of her money. So this is a prime example. So Steve Goff was actually a high-pressured salesperson who claimed to have all of this real estate knowledge and real estate guru, which was, we found out later, was just upselling people. He was good at sales, and he upsold people into these packages and made some promises, like Kathleen, that were not accurate and that he could never fulfill. And that was one of the things that was really sad. It ended up getting turned over to myself, where I tried to help her. And I don't know exactly whatever happened to her afterwards, but I think she got a refund or she was a part of the lawsuit.
So she was basically told that she would get her money back, and then she found out that the guy who promised to teach her, oh, he just couldn't do it anymore, so somebody else would take his place, and she asked for a refund initially, and she didn't get it right away. I suppose it must have taken her many hours of frustration and pain and probably joining the lawsuit in order to get her money back.
Yeah, months. It took months.
Now,
yeah, it's an absolute terrible thing. This is one of the things I point out in the book about it.
Yeah.
The other thing was pointing out in the book about Sunil, a friend of mine in Arizona. I say friend now because I've still worked with some of my students because I believe in the education side of it. And everybody knows I'm still doing real estate, and I'll be more than happy to help anybody get ahead if they need a little bit of knowledge. So I still help some of the students. But one of the other things was in Arizona. The same person was teaching a person in Arizona doing their infield mentorship and taught them illegal stuff that the person could have gone to jail for. I write about that in the book, and I'm
like,
still to this day.
Like what sort of illegal stuff?
It's really taking a contract and doing a title and thinking that in Arizona has strict laws. The Board of Realtors control the laws in every state, all over the world. All over the United States. So one of the things you have to realize is if you have to work within those laws. You can't sign a contract with no intentions on ever closing on it in certain states and think that you have equitable title in that contract, and then all of a sudden you can act as a real estate agent and sell that property for a higher dollar amount. What? That's it.
So this instructor or this person at Trump University was found to be teaching students tactics that essentially were illegal in that state.
Absolutely. Mm. And it's happened in Texas. It happened in California, Florida, New York. It happened a lot of places.
So when Trump sold Trump University as a way to be like him, he really meant it.
Wow. One of the things on page 13 of the book, it's a learned behavior. And I talk about that in page 13 of the book. And I think it's the third paragraph. I don't have the book in front of me right now. But it's the third paragraph. It's a learned behavior. Donald Trump acts the same way he was taught by his father, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
his father, Fred Trump. He comes from a long line of people who have essentially turned selling into a con game. Let's talk about the Trump University sales playbook. This was not a textbook for students. This was actually a handbook for the employees of Trump University on how to sell admissions to the program, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, so
it was in writing. When I finally found it, and I actually have a copy, I had all the copies and I actually had it in the trunk of mine. And when I was writing the book and preparing for the book and writing it, I actually came across the playbook. Hmm. Because sometimes you don't believe what's really on TV or on the news, or as Donald Trump would say, fake news, which we know is not correct. I didn't really believe some of the stuff that was being testified. So I actually pulled the documents. And sure enough, the stuff in the playbook is actually correct. I was blown out of the water that I couldn't believe the stuff I was reading.
So this,
and still to this day, I still, one of the things is you have to wear your wedding band. And I still wear my wedding band to this day.
So this was essentially the book that taught people at Trump University how to sell admission, how to basically recruit students based on their income levels, what assets they had, very clear outlines. Was there anything anywhere that you found that actually emphasized the educational mission? It was called Trump University. That word university means something. Did it really mean anything at Trump University?
No, it actually was the state of New York actually changed their name and forced them to change the name because it was not a university, and they actually changed the Trump Entrepreneur Initiative. But in the playbook, it does talk about how to sum up people and also to remember. And one of the famous quotes in that playbook was, they're here for a reason. They want to learn the Donald Trump way of real estate. They want to become millionaires. So we're offering that service for them. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was in the playbook, though.
How vulnerable were the people that were targeted? Because the promises that were being made by Trump and by the people that his so-called university hired really sounded so seductive. They were so fantastical that essentially, you know, we will teach you these inside secrets that once you're armed with them, the money you've spent on this education will seem like peanuts because you will literally be, you know, floating in money and cash. And this plays very easily to desperate people who are economically strapped for cash.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things I started seeing over and over again. And those students, some of them I actually hand-hauled on an infield mentorship and went out and tried to help them. One of the things I wanted to make sure was that they got an education. Some people made it. Some people, a lot of them did not make it. And that was one of the sad realities of it. But one of the things I will tell you, because everyone thinks, and they still practice this stuff today, the gurus, the real estate gurus that people pay to go out and see, they're still doing the same practice. They copied the Trump way.
They learned how to do it and they're doing it on their own now?
They're called gurus, and that's not true. They're not gurus. It's a sales pitch, and I wish America would learn that you're being sold. Nothing in life is free, and the education that you think you're going to get and how to become a millionaire in real estate, I'll be the first one to tell you. It is hard, hard, hard work.
And it's complicated, right, Stephen? It's complicated. It's not something that you can just attend a few workshops. I mean, in order to make money in real estate, if that's what you want to do, it requires years of experience, requires a lot of education and learning.
Absolutely. And even I'm in the business now 20-some years. I actually still make mistakes, and I'm still learning. It's evolutionary of changing. It's not for the lighthearted people. But the promise was given to them is that you too can be a real estate millionaire. And it's like, that's not true. That's not true at all.
Stephen, you were subpoenaed and you start your story in your book, Trump U, The Inside Story of Trump University, describing your experience at receiving a subpoena about over the lawsuit that New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman launched against Trump for Trump University. Even that experience was sleazy, wasn't it?
It was extremely scary. I was subpoenaed by three different states. by three different district attorneys, and multiple times. It just wasn't once. Coming home after working a long day's work and coming home to that is scary. And a lot of people say, well, what's the problem? It's a subpoena. I've never been subpoenaed. I don't know about everybody else in the world. But
I would be scared.
It's very serious matter and all. It's so serious. I couldn't talk until the settlement was reached. And I was being pulled left and right to give my subpoena and my questions and testimony.
And Trump's lawyers essentially tried to get you to be on their side and, again, using these sleazy methods.
Well, it's one of the things is, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is I know for a fact I heard things. I know for a fact I've seen things. I know that. Being underneath the questioning of a subpoena with high-pressured lawyers, and they're good lawyers, obviously, and being high-pressured like that, one of the things was sad is I started questioning my own reality. Because I didn't hear it firsthand, or I didn't actually wasn't there, but I heard it through the owners of Trump University, so it couldn't have possibly happened. And if that's the case, you must say, you don't recall, or I don't know. And it's like, wait a minute. For being trained and having your mind processed like that, seriously, a couple months after I really questioned my friends, my family, of what really was reality. Did this really happen? I started questioning about my childhood. Did this happen with my parents? I mean, I questioned everything because I wasn't sure what reality was. And that's pretty frightening when somebody can actually change your thought process on what reality is. It's really a scary thing. That's the reason why I wrote the book.
Going back to your experience at Trump University as an instructor, you said earlier that you started to hear more and more from your students about the experiences that they were having at the university as a whole. At what point did you feel that you couldn't be part of this anymore?
Well, I still feel like I can't be part of it anymore, but students still call me. I'll give you a prime example. Even after this $25 million lawsuit, and the settlement, it was a higher lawsuit, but the settlement of $25 million, I was bombarded with students calling me, begging for help to write letters if the courts would accept a letter, because they don't have the receipts anymore to prove in order to get a part of the claim. I couldn't believe it. I put them in touch with the people that are still the administration at Trump Organization and stuff, but I could not believe that people were still having problems because they don't even have the receipts to even get a part of the settlement. It's really scary. That I hope somebody's helping them.
And so you, how did your experience there end? At what point did you basically separate yourself?
It was way after 2010. The company closed in 2010. I pulled out pictures actually last night preparing for this interview on my author page on Facebook to post up. I was there until 2011, 2012.
Okay, so you stayed with it.
I stayed with it because we were cleaning up the mess. It was only down to three of us, a customer service employee, myself answering phone calls, and an operator, and another customer service rep. There's four of us, actually.
Now,
so we stayed to clean up the mess.
Do you feel that this book is sort of your way of trying to undo some of the damage that this institution that you became a part of created?
Well, the only regret I have about this whole thing is the students and how we met and how we got involved. That's number one. Number two is to clear my name. I mean, if you go on Google and you actually look up on Google Trump University, my name pops up everywhere, which I don't know why, because there was 28 of us. And all, but my name pops up everywhere for testimony, for subpoenas, and from students. I had a lot of students. I had over 5,000 students, which was no way I could possibly handle them all. It's one of those things where I want to clear my name and I want the story to be told. Remember, the settlement is not even a year old yet.
And it was just around November or just a few months after Trump was elected.
So it's like 9-10 months old, not even.
Did you, when the, having been a part of this institution, Did you get a sense when Trump won against, the predictions of most of us, that Trump's presidency would end up being the way it was? I mean, did your experience at Trump University warn you of what was to come for the country as a whole?
Absolutely. The chaos, and I don't want to bring up the other person's book because it came out at the same time my book came out. But the chaos, I can actually believe the chaos of that book because there's chaos all the time with going on and stuff with Trump University. And even afterwards, there's still chaos going on about it. So I can actually believe some of the stuff of what's going on. And I can believe there is chaos going on. And all. I don't think he was, I don't. My personal opinion is I don't think he expected to become president of the United States.
Right.
God knows, I didn't either.
Did you ever get to meet him as part of your work?
I did get to meet him, and that's one of the things is that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book also. Besides everyone telling me, you were the real estate expert in the house, so you need to defend yourself. And since he's not going to go on stand and defend you, because on stand, he several, three different occasions on three different testimonies, he says, I don't know who he is. And it's like, what do you mean you don't know who I am?
Wow.
He could have changed our lives for the better, the ones who helped him make money. He could have changed our lives for the better, but he just left us out there to dry and hung us.
And that seems to be his approach to
Well,
many
it's the
things.
MO. It seems like now it's the MO. If it doesn't happen once and happens twice and it happens three times, it's your MO.
And except now the entire country is sort of, getting conned, screwed, whatever term you want to use to describe it. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen. Is there any place you would recommend people can find out about your book? By the way, I went to trumpuniversity.com and there was just a sort of GoDaddy parking page there, which I felt was a fitting tribute to what's happened to this
They
institution.
shut it down. They shut it down altogether. No. One of the things you can actually do is I don't know if you can see that. There's the book. It's called Trump U, the Inside Story of Trump University. It's based on fact and what's happened in my time period experience with Trump University and Donald Trump and the owners of Trump University. You can actually go to the publisher's website today, actually www.orbooks.com, and actually purchase it. You'll have it within 48 hours. Or on February 20th, it comes out to the world. Hopefully, it's like the book that's going out now. Hopefully, I'll get my name out there and my story across to the world, what really happened at Trump University. It comes out at Amazon.com, Barnes and Nobles, Walmart, etc.
So
February 20th.
Or Books is where people can go right now. Orbooks.com.
OR, yeah, it's www.orbooks.com. And you just type in, and there's the book, so you can actually see that. I don't know if you guys can actually see that.
Yeah, and
It's Trump
I have a
University.
copy too, and I'll hold it up for our audience, and we've been putting up
Oh,
images
excellent.
for our TV audience. Stephen,
Thank you
thank you
so
so
much.
much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest is Stephen Gilpin. He taught real estate for more than a decade. He was recruited to join Trump University as an in-house instructor. We've been talking about his new book, Trump U, The Inside Story of Trump University. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.